Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, a podcast dedicated to offering a growth mindset platform for us entrepreneurs, where we discuss everything from business, mindset, to life in general. I'm your host, Catherine Polsonelli, a business organizing powerhouse, personal development strategist, and owner of Agent Services Plus, a company focused on helping entrepreneurs just like you build, grow, and be courageous in their business. I'm so excited to have you with us today. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage and get ready to have some amazing conversations and fantastic takeaways. Let's jump right in. Hello, hello, everyone. Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. I'm so excited to have you guys with us in this episode to talk with Miss Nancy Geary, if I said that correctly. And she's a course creation biz phenom. So Nancy, give us a little bit about you. Tell us about your business and then how you got into course creation.
Okay. Well, I'm Nancy Geary and I'm based near San Francisco, and I work with businesses of all sizes to help them turn their expertise into profitable online courses. And if they have a team, to help them make their team perform as efficiently and effectively as possible. I've been in the course creation business for a very long time. And when I got started, this is like when Al Gore invented the internet. That's how long ago it was.
Oh, no. And
I didn't really know what I was doing. And I just kind of stumbled around and, you know, I was making things, but I didn't know. And, you know, it went okay. And then I took a, you know, fast forward a couple of jobs, and I worked for a company where the whole business was in creating, we called it at that time, you know, self-paced learning. So yeah. It was delivered on a, I always get it confused, a three and a half inch disc. There's the floppy disc. And then there's that.
Yep.
So that's how content was distributed. And people were doing it on a computer. But what was great about that is because we were cranking out so many courses, we needed to have everybody operating in the same way. Mm-hmm. And I learned about a methodology called instructional design.
Okay.
So I was doing the work, following this this process, getting regular feedback on my work from my manager and a quality assurance manager. And the question was always, okay, what do we do to make it better? Mm-hmm. And while that was going on, we had the opportunity to pursue a master's degree on our lunch hour.
Oh, wow.
So they brought in all the instruction. So it was very cool because I was doing the work. I was learning kind of the broader context of really training instructional design as a profession, as a methodology, and getting regular feedback on it. And that really, that's one of those moments that when you're going through it, you don't necessarily appreciate how wonderful it is. Mm-hmm. Because what it did is it positioned me very well then to pursue a career in training. And so now we fast forward all these years later, and I'm really working to help other people. Primarily, you know, now I'm more in the entrepreneurial small business market because mm-hmm. They don't necessarily have a training department. They don't have somebody that's dedicated to that.
Yeah.
They know that they need to create content in the form of courses, but they're not quite sure how.
Mm-hmm.
And because not everybody knows, hey, there's this whole profession, it's whole methodology. People have gone to school. So, so they're trying to, you know, really, in many ways it's paying it forward. And I do work with corporations still as well, but you okay. know, it's kind of it's a different groups of people. It's a different set of problems depending yeah. on if it's a coach trying to grow their practice or a company that says, you know, we need our employees to learn how to do this new thing, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Now, when you're helping someone kind of, especially in the entrepreneurial world, figure out how to lay out their course, where is the starting point with that, right? Like, give me some background on,
sure.
To be honest, even helping someone figure out if it's worth making a course over, right? Because I do feel like that course creation has become kind of the new thing and people are really yes. looking into it. I know Tony Robbins did a 5-day event and they chatted about the course creation and doing just the things that you know. So I believe that it's definitely getting traction, but how do you know if it's even worth getting that started?
Well, the first step in the process is to really think about who's your target audience,
mm-hmm.
who do you serve, what is the problem that you need to solve for them, or what is something new that you can offer that can help them expand their horizons. But usually it's about solving a particular problem. So you want to really be dialed in on that.
Okay.
And then step back and say, okay, what makes me uniquely qualified to solve this problem? So how am I different? So if it, let's say I'm involved in, I work with communication. Well, a lot of people are teaching about how to be a better communicator.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your unique spin on it? What angle are you coming from that can okay. differentiate yourself from the crowd? Then you want to take a look and go, okay, what's out there in the market already?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in doing some primary research up front with whoever your target audience is.
Okay.
Conduct an interview, do a focus group, do some surveying to find out if your idea is really going to have traction, and to do that early on. I hate to see people either, getting something all the way built out and then start to try to sell it. And then it doesn't hit the mark because for, whatever reason, it wasn't really what the audience wanted.
Yeah.
The other danger is to swing the other way and say, well, I'll sell this. And then if people buy it, I'll build it.
I have heard
the challenge there. Yeah. People say that all the time, just sell it and then you can build it. Well, if you really don't know how to build it, you're putting yourself at risk mm-hmm. of creating a program that is not going to deliver the result that your audience wants because you may not have given yourself enough time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
To build
you're
it
rushing
out.
Through it.
You're rushing through it. You'll miss something.
Yeah.
The visuals won't look as, there's just so many moving parts in doing this. And, sadly, a lot of people are saying, oh, you can build it in an hour. You can do it in 30 minutes. Well,
I've heard that
too. Have your course ready. Oh my God. You can probably upload it to your platform. In that period of time. But even there, there's challenges along the way. So, it's a project like any other. And you really want to be mindful of, okay, what are all the pieces and parts and what is it going to take to build it? What am I going to do? What do I need to outsource to other people to do? Mm-hmm. Because again, it comes down to what's the best use of time for everybody that's working on the project.
Yeah. Makes sense. Making sure you're delegating, staying in your zone of genius.
That was
really hard for entrepreneurs because a lot of us are running every aspect of our business. And a lot of those aspects
right.
are not that great. We don't want to do anyway. So I completely understand that because I've looked at doing course creation, but every time I look at it, because I'm more analytical, I have a really hard time with being creative with it. So mine would be really bullet pointed and probably not colorful. Right. Even my podcast, when I set my podcast up and I needed to have a cover and all the things that I wanted to do, I tried doing it myself, but I have the hardest time with breaking things up and, just putting it on there and seeing what it looks like. I'm like, it's got to be centered
right.
It's gotta be here. So I actually had my sister who is fantastic at being creative. And I was like, well, we just try it out and see what happens. Right. She had no clue what she was doing, but she loves Canva and she's created other things for a couple of other people she works with. And so I was like, please just take a shot. And I gave her some of the outlines, but it turned out amazing. So, by the way, my sister did my podcast cover. It turned out 10 times better than I could have ever done it because I can't visually see that kind of creative piece to it. I can give you the information that needs to be in it, but not necessarily make it look appealing. That's going to catch
right.
visual learners
right.
along with your analytical learners and things like that. So I'm guessing that you help kind of along helping them figure where that needs to go. Cause I'm sure that people mm-hmm. swing both ways. One, they have no clue how to even make it creative, or two, they want to do all the things with all the colors and all the pretty shiny things.
Yes.
It's going to be more.
How many fonts can I use in one page? Yeah. Well, that's part of, and I do that, I do have a team of people that helps me work through this. And I believe in having people, let's start with the what. Mm-hmm. What are you going to teach?
Okay.
And then come up with, okay, so working through the content and then, put it in a logical order and then look at it and say, I'm going to tell a story here. I need a visual that's going to represent setting priorities. or you don't have to like go off and build it right away. And in some ways it gets a little bit crazy when you do that. But if you think of it, you know, in two columns, and column A is what am I going to do? And column B is how am I going to teach it? And that allows you then, if let's say like in your case, you can do all the technical part. You've got, you know, you're very organized. You can get it all organized and ready to go. You could create a document like that and then give it to your sister and say, I need visuals to represent these key points. And then she can go off and make the visuals for you.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And you put it all together because, you know, it's hard. I think when people, they say, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, but I'm a CEO of my company. Well, for us, that's being the chief everything officer.
Yeah.
And that doesn't always work so well. I mean, you get to a point, if you want to scale, you got to bring in other people to help you.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely agree with that one. And I love that. The CEO of your business. So let me ask you this, because I know that I generally have two different types of clients. Normally I have the ones over here, they're kind of like me, where they, you know, they can do that outline like you're talking about and kind of bullet point it and things like that. What about for those that are kind of like your brain dump people that just like have this idea and all these things? How do you help them get organized in that? Because I know that even I do that occasionally. I bounce back and forth between the two. And I know that there are some times where I just like blurt everything down on a piece of paper. And then I have to try to go back in to, you know, reorganize it. But I do have kind of that analytical, logical piece to it. So it makes it a little bit easier for those that you have that like have this idea and have all these things they want in it. How would you help them figure out how to chronologically start separating that out?
You mentioned that this morning I was looking through some documents that a client sent to me, and it, you know, just, it's really just her getting out of her head and onto the page, what it is that she wants to say. So we've got a lot of really good content here. And now the question is to sort of step back. You just do like a brainstorm and just get the information out in any way that makes sense to you, whether you make a list, whether you do a mind map, or another favorite tool, very high tech, is the good old sticky note. And sometimes it's just writing each, you know, key idea down on the sticky note, slap it onto the paper, and then you can step back and you can look at it, and then you can move it all around.
Oh yeah.
And then you know, whether it's a list or a mind map or the famous sticky note, you've got then a framework of what it is that you need to write about. And then you can take, so let's say you have like this brainstorm of all the stuff that you wrote. You can take that and then look at, well, how does this brain dump of just content or things I've written, articles, podcasts that I've been on, all of those different items, you can look at, well, how does that content then align with this framework that I've put in place? And then step back and say, okay, is anything missing? It's a great way to approach it. Sometimes you know, you're compelled to just write and write and write and write and write. And I think it's a great thing to brainstorm, but eventually you've got to have, well, what are the bones of this course? What's it going to stick on? What is it that I want to cover? And to be mindful of your audience and always be asking the question, when they finish this program, what do I want them to be able to do?
Okay.
What they couldn't do before, what do they need to know in order to do that? And how do I want them to feel? And then that becomes like another overarching structure that all of your ideas and all of your content sit under, if you will.
Yeah.
And it keeps you focused. So like little shiny object comes in, you're like, listen, no, not today. This is not your turn. Not like today.
No comment.
Sometimes they're welcome, but more often than not, it's, you know, it's a distraction.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I love that you talk about, because I do think that people forget that sometimes, whether it's course creation, it's setting up a summit, a mastermind, group sessions, whatever the case may be. We forget that ending part of how do we want them to feel? Like, how do we want them to walk away at that end? Because we get so stuck in like the details of it and the accomplishment, right? Of like, I want them to do this, that we forget to make sure that aligns with that piece. Yes. I love that you brought that up, because I think that that is an extremely important part for people to remember, because then that essentially, in my opinion, and you tell me yours, is going to figure out whether they may want to work with you in something else, whether that's one-on-one or additional courses or whatever you may have, or who they may refer to you as well, versus a lot of us who take that one course and we're like, eh, okay, and then on to the next one.
Yeah, it's you need to be really clear about the outcome. You know, to, like Stephen Covey said, you know, begin with the end in mind. And that's just very important. And often people want to start with the introduction. And that's the last thing that you want to write, because if you start writing the introduction, you kind of you've already set your brain up to go, okay, this is the path that we're where we're going to start, and you lose track of, well, what's the outcome? Yeah. So I like to just create all the building blocks for the course, and then when they're all complete, then go back and write the introduction based on where I'm taking them.
Okay.
And you know, because we just feel like, well, that's the first thing, so that's the first thing I should write. Well, just because it's the first thing doesn't mean it's the first thing you should write.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense. I mean, if I'm thinking back to when my kids were doing essays in school, we had that 5-point essay and writing it, it's almost like using your introduction as like your conclusion, because you're going to take everything, kind of roll it back into the beginning so that you know where they want them to be. But it's a full idea versus writing it and then trying to build off of that one and hoping that you hit all the points and you don't have to go back to the introduction to change it, to add more, to all the things.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I love that. That's fantastic. Now my brain's like going this morning. I'm like, oh, that's so let me ask you this then. I know that another piece of that is going to be, what the heck do I charge? Do you help with them kind of figuring that out and what would align with them or their clients? Can you give me some information on that?
Yes. You know, that's always challenging to figure out what to charge. And there's two ways to look at it. One is to do a competitive scan and see what else is out in the market and what the going rate seems to be. The other part is to really look at your course and say, is this something that's transactional or is it something that's transformational? So, you know, I'm working with somebody now, and her whole program is about spirituality. That's going to be more of a transformative experience than the person who wants to teach people how to use Microsoft Excel.
Okay, that
makes
sense.
They're both important, but there's a different, you know, it's a different type of one is I'm acquiring a new skill. Mm-hmm. Another is I'm looking at changing the way I live. So that impacts the pricing as well. One of the challenges, though, I think that people have, and it's been, you know, spread in the whole, you know, make money while you sleep. And sure, it's great. Love it. Yeah. Love to wake up and see, you know, that somebody enrolled. It's a wonderful feeling. What is not said is that what is the reach? What is the size of your list? The bigger, if you have a huge list, if you charge something that's at the lower end, you're going to do great, because if you have, you know, if you've got 50,000 people on your list, and, you know, just work backward and you're going to get, let's say 10% of them buy, right? Well, if my list is 1,500, it's going to be more challenging for me. You know, I'm not going to do as much. So where I've been taking people is to say, let's look at really what type of business are you in? So a coach is a great example. There's a lot of, there's some intake work. There's some guiding principles that coaches use with all of their clients. So they're saying it over and over and over again. So if they can take some of that information and package it and include it in a group or a one-on-one offer, it allows them to serve more people and have more time. So I think the larger play is to look at, what can you do to enhance your group and one-on-one work? So if you can sell something for $2,000 or $5,000 as opposed to $100, I mean, you know, we could get out our calculators here. You can sort of see, where am I better off?
Makes sense.
I've heard tragedies of people that spent a fortune on Facebook ads to bring people in. And, you know, they don't get the traction, you know, they end up breaking even because they spent so much on advertising. Maybe the list is built and it will help, you know, moving into the future. But I really think it's easier to work and start at the high end and add an online component to that. The other part is, I think it's easier to stand up a high ticket program than to create a self-paced online course because of all the moving parts in the self-paced course. So why not build it into something where you can have a larger play?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I feel like that kind of, in a way, and make sure I'm understanding this correctly, it kind of frees up the repetitiveness that you are still wanting to put out to new clients that you're wanting to bring into you. And you can still offer that while you being able to expand and attract either a repetitive audience or a different type that may be higher level to bring them in as well. So then you kind of, you start having those two different target audiences.
Right. So, I mean, think about, let's say your typical calls are an hour. And if you can, what went in the early phases, if you can give them content that they can do on their own, then maybe that call can be 30 minutes. So you're saving yourself a half an hour.
Okay.
Or maybe as you move down the road with your clients, you're going to want to spend more time with them. But really think about, you have the opportunity when you're in conversation, whether it's in a group or one-on-one, to operate at a deeper level because they've gotten the foundational principles.
Okay.
They've done some, you know, they've done something. They've taken a module. They've done an assignment.
Yeah.
They've got their, you know, their insights in hand, their questions, their concerns.
Yeah.
It's, there's a stronger framework when you sit down and then are in that coaching conversation.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
And I think that's to me the best place. If you're just getting rolling, I think starting there is great. And then look at, because the other part, I think, and I'm kind of on the coaching place here, is what does somebody really need from you? What can they do independently and derive benefit? You know, how do you, so you can really only extract a part of your program, because some of the best coaches that I know, they just do things intuitively. They're in the moment. They know what to say. They know how to respond. They know what resource to point someone to. So you don't want to do something where there's potentially a risk of leaving somebody hanging and feeling like, oh my God, I don't know what to do next.
Yeah.
I feel terrible. I'm frustrated. Because then they'll probably, they'll either reach out for more help or they might just walk away.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And I feel like also if you have something along those lines where, like you were saying, you kind of give them that module to work on themselves, one, you're going to define whether or not they're going to be a continual client or someone that is willing to grow and be a part of your business. And two, it almost gives them a piece of self-confidence to know that they've created this or they've completed this. And now as you're teaching them more, they're like, oh, I understand that. She said something about this in the course. So then you get people more involved on a deeper level, a more of a soul level where they're they want to learn, they want to be involved, where I do feel like because there are so many like mini courses out there or ways to get quick rich.
There you go. We love being quick rich.
So many people will just like pull that course and pull this course, right? And hope that they're going to get like all the information when ultimately what that person is trying to do is pull them in. But they've left out that part of almost giving that person the self-confidence to teach themselves on some things that they're craving to learn more to then be a part of a bigger program that you have.
Yeah. And that's really a big part of it, is using this as a way to have people experience you and make a decision if they want to make a bigger investment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes total sense. Now, tell me this, from your standpoint, when you're helping people kind of create these courses and stuff, is there kind of a time frame that it's normally able to be done in, or does it depend on like just how much information they're wanting in it?
Yeah. A lot of it is really how big the course is, how much information they already have done. You know, for example, they've written a book, which I happen to have written a book. If you have a book, that's a wonderful place to start, because there's already a logical flow of the information. And then it's just saying, okay, if I want to, how do I make this information work now if I'm delivering it through another modality?
Okay.
And, you know, if somebody's just starting out with a blank sheet of paper, okay, I don't even know what I want to do. You know, there's a time factor. Yeah. I feel that from end to end, you know, we can accomplish quite a bit in a 12-week window.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, if much of it, and the thing that always is the challenge is how much time does the person have to devote to working on the course, given all of the other elements of their business that needs to keep going.
Yeah,
and that makes sense. Like anything, is where does it fit into the priorities? So is it a top priority? Are you willing to invest 10, 15 hours a week to move it forward? And there's some people that I work with that they're more like they want to have more of a done a for you type of a service.
Okay.
Where it's just, you know, like for example, give me your book and I'll build a course for you based on your book, and I'll come to you to do some reviews periodically. Mm-hmm. It's almost like when somebody wants to write a book and they hire a ghostwriter. I'm the ghost designer. you know, it's just because, you know, and it's where people are. You know, if you're ready to scale, where do you want to spend your time?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I look at a 12-week window. I feel comfortable with that. Now, having said that, if somebody wants me to, I can build a course for them in a month, in a couple of weeks, because that's all I'm going to be doing.
True. Very right? True. Yeah. Yeah. I get that. And I think it goes back to what we kind of talked about in the beginning too, about being aware of where your strengths are and where you're at in your business. And if you know that you're already scaling, but this is something you want to add in addition to, but you don't have the capacity or the time for it. But like you said, you do have a book or something you can pull from it. It makes sense to just go ahead and be smart, delegate it to a professional, an expert, someone that knows that better than you do, so that you don't have to learn it. And then I love that you do the periodic check-ins to kind of see where you're at, where we're going,
how it's going.
Go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because then you're still involved in it as far as like making sure that it's still yours. Right. And I get that the foundation is still coming from your content that you already have, and that's what you're building it off of. But I do think it's very important to stay involved in whatever it is you are doing.
Oh,
even
if you're
delegating it out to other people, you still need to be aware of it. Otherwise, I feel like you lose that sense of you.
Yes.
And then you're just adding things in your business that ultimately, you know, may deviate from what you were trying to get across or the perception you were trying to put out there.
Because clearly it has to be in the voice of the person.
Mm-hmm.
And the one place where they do need to, you know, regardless of the approach, whether it's done with you or done for you, is there's a video component. And I think it's important that there's a combination of that person being on camera and doing the narration. If there's slides or, you know, however that's going to work, that's time that they need to dedicate. Well, the good news is you can go into a studio and shoot your video in a day, or you can set things up to depending on your budget. If that's kind of out of reach for someone, well then, what can you do to set up a decent background at home, have a good microphone, lights, and do it in that context? So that's the part where they do need, no matter what choice they make, they do need to be involved in that part. And having said that, that's usually the part that people find scary. So there's a lot of sometimes what we'll do is if people are in a studio, the people that are filming, they know what to do to make you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
But if somebody's doing it at home and they're like, I'm by myself here and this is making me nuts, it can be nice if you're recording on Zoom to have somebody on the other side so you feel like you're talking. to a person.
Makes sense.
And that, you know, and that helps kind of make people feel more at ease.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're talking to another person, you're going to bring more energy to it if you're not experienced doing recordings.
Mm, yeah.
So I'd like to do that. Either me or somebody on the team will just be there so they feel like they're talking to someone, and then maybe, you know, go, man, you know, the energy was kind of low. Let's do it again and let's amp it up. So
we can
work to coach people through the process, as well as making sure that they have a nice background that will be pleasing. I think about, you know, early on in back in the day when we couldn't leave that house and everybody's on, all we did was Zoom. We still kind of, but watching, celebrities, newscasters, anybody at home.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
yes.
Oh, those books on their shelf, or, you know, people had like weird tchotchke, and you'd get distracted by looking at what was going on behind them and wondering about that. And I did think, though, that the commentator on MSNBC, Claire McCaskill, she's got the nicest kitchen, and she has a cake and flowers. So
that's very fantastic. Welcoming. I haven't seen that. I always love seeing all of the bloopers and stuff, or, you know, some of the things going on in people's backgrounds when they couldn't have a space, right? And I know I'm guilty of it too. Like, I'll catch myself if somebody has like a lot of things going on in the background that I'm just like zoned in on the background, and I'm like, oh, back to focus.
It was so funny. And or people didn't think about the impact of lighting. They did, you know, it's interesting just how things, particularly people that are professional speakers, you know, they really had to up their game. Cause initially people didn't mind that you had a funky virtual background and your hand was disappearing and you know, you'd hold up something and nobody could see it. But now it's like, all right, come on.
We've been doing this since 2020. Everybody should kind of be on a.
Yeah. And I think in that window too, what happened is everybody was like, oh man, I gotta create online courses. I gotta get my stuff out there. So what happened is they did a webinar and then put a video on an opening and closing sting and sent it out and said, I have a course. No, you have a recording that's disguised as an online course. I'm here to tell you this, people. Because I talked about beginning with the end in mind.
Yeah.
So when you're doing that, you want to think about, well, what is the online course going to be like? How many sections are there going to, will there be?
Yeah.
And when will there be video? When will I be talking about giving people an activity to do? How's that going to work? Mm-hmm. So when you do your webinar, you're thinking about structuring it like that, which allows you then to pause and smile between each segment and just those few seconds. And you know this because you're editing your podcast. Those few seconds can make a difference if you want to have a clean edit. And then you have the opportunity to repurpose something that's going to be of a higher quality than just making somebody watch a 60-minute recording. Because it's like, you ain't going to binge watch that, baby.
Like, how long do I have?
We're going to be doing other stuff.
No, that makes sense.
I'm going to miss all your key points.
I love that, because that really does make sense. And that's something that even I've been learning since I've tried to do more video and be in front of people. And if I'm able to have something from the side that's kind of recording, but being very aware of what I am doing, where my hands are placed, pausing so that I can find those segment pieces to take out. Because if not, you have like that weird face. Like, I feel like it's that, and you got to start with that weird face, because that weird. That's where it cuts, and you're just like, your eyes are closed, your head's like up, or I don't know. Anyway, I feel like that's
camera angles are important. I was watching a movie and I forgot who the actress was, but whenever she was filmed from one angle, she looked great. And another angle, they'd be like, wow, what happened to you?
Oh, she-
you, okay. You aged 10 years. Is that the same person? It was really, I thought, how the heck did they even let this get out?
Oh gosh. Yeah. I did that when I did my first few videos and I posted them, the whole point of it. Right. And I tell everybody this, like, done is better than perfect. So I went for it. So I would film a couple of little short videos, like 2 minutes, just giving some information. And then I would post it. And then I would go back and I'm like, oh God, what is that face? Why did it use that one in the front of it?
See, this is so, you know, and the still, I think there's something in the algorithms where they pick like where you look your absolute worst.
They really do.
And that's the still.
It definitely is.
This is why we do thumbnails.
Oh my God. I'm like, I know that was not the beginning of that face. I have been through that. So heads up, everybody.
Early on, for some of my first forays into Zoom, like everybody else, just, you know, figuring out as a presenter, I was looking at myself, and this is one of the challenges. Maybe it's, I don't know if it's, I feel like it's a bigger deal for women than for men, perhaps, but we're probably looking at ourselves all the time. So there's this constant, you know, constant opportunity to be critical.
Yes.
And I'm looking and I'm going, oh my gosh, what happened to my neck? And I'm having this little conversation with myself. Suddenly the chat, you look great. All these nice compliments. I didn't realize that I had let everybody in. I thought I was still in my So, you know, you can take these things though that happened to you, all these, because it had all these blips, and when you're doing something live, if you can turn it into a teachable moment,
yes,
and then everybody can laugh with you, you know, then it's okay. Because somebody said to me, I'm so relieved that you're not perfect, because now I feel like I can go forward and I can get into this space. Cause I know, you know, even you, and I'm like, even me, I'm like, well, okay, when did I become so great? But you know, there's that sort of a,
yeah,
if people can see you as not being completely, you know, plastic fantastic,
yep,
like, and you're relatable, that can compensate for other challenges that come up along the way.
And I do feel that way. And I know that, you know, for me, perfectionism was such an issue for such a long time that, you know, if I messed anything up, I was like, oh my God, I just screwed the whole thing up. Right. But that is one of the reasons why, even when I started my podcast, I am very candid and I'm very open, and I leave the crap where I screw up in there, because I do want it to be relatable. And I do want people to understand that it's okay to screw up. It's okay to make a mistake. It's not the end of the world. Right. You can recover from it. Just don't focus on it as much. And I hate that, you know, social media, in my opinion, has kind of created this like perfect life and perfect person and perfection of all the things. And especially women, right? We tend to kind of get stuck in mm-hmm. that. And then we're trying to live up to somebody else's appearance or the way they do things. And it's not even real. You can, and it's funny too, because I started taking videos and certain things that I was watching and like really paying attention, and you can see where they kind of like cut, and you see like the head kind of shift or the eyes kind of,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you fixed it. Like, but watching that kind of helped me be like, okay, so it's not that they knew exactly what they were doing. It's just, they made sure they cleared it out. So
yeah,
I'm not going to with a lot of my stuff, because why? Why? I just,
yeah, it's really, you got to decide what, mm-hmm. you know, and if, and, you know, and people at the end of the day, they're looking for really great content. Mm-hmm. So you want to do the best that you can with what you have. And the more you can work to have things be concise and to the point, you know, the better off you're going to be. I think when we're kind of wandering around, and we're not real clear and where we're, you know, the direction that we're taking people. And that's, I think, where someone can get lost. Or,
yeah,
you know, take the, at a minimum, take the time to have a good microphone so that your sound is good.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your sound isn't good, you're going to lose people.
Yeah.
They'll forgive things in the video, but they won't in the sound.
Yeah.
And to really think about just being, you know, being focused. Sometimes people will say, oh, I can just go off the cuff. I can just wing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're better off at a minimum, at least have, these are the three key points that I'm going to cover. And why not script it and learn how to read on a teleprompter? There's teleprompter apps that you can use. You know, I just picked one up the other day that I can use on my Mac. Mm-hmm. So I can just, if I choose to record here, I can read it and I'll look like I'm giving away a secret, but I can read it and I can, and I've had enough training in doing voiceover work that I know how to read in a way that I can have the right emphasis and
still engaged,
you know, without enthusiasm. Engaged, right, without sounding robotic.
Yeah. And I think that's a big thing for people. And you have to understand how you perform, like how you work, right? Mm-hmm. If you know that you're going to be completely distracted by always reading the teleprompter, and you do like kind of giving your ideas, and make sure you've got those bullet points so that you stay on task, that is right there so that you don't miss, because I do see a lot of people that wing it, you forget. And you're like, oh crap, I wanted to talk about that too, right? So if you at least have that, and then if you know that bullet points are going to get you lost because you're only going to be focusing on that, then look at a teleprompter. Like, people really do have to learn who they are and how they operate to figure out what works best for them. And I think a lot of people forget that.
Exactly. Well, you know, the app, I think, was like 19, it was very reasonable. Mm-hmm. And another way to look at it is, if you do a recording like that, where you're working off of a script, then you can take that video. And then if you have slides or other graphics, you have a flow of a presentation that you're walking through.
Yeah.
You can give the two tracks to an editor, and they'll put your voice over the images.
Okay.
And they'll look at where does, you know, so maybe you want to open up and you're on camera. Welcome to Bundle Your Brilliance. Da 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 da. And then the next, and you're still, you know, you've done your recording off your teleprompter,
mm-hmm.
and you're going through how it's all going to go. You're going through the whole flow of it.
Yeah.
And then you give the slide deck to the editor, and they match it up.
That makes sense.
And what I like to do is I provide them a document where I have, I feel like I live my life in two columns. One column is thumbnails of the slides, and then the other column is the script. And then I'll have either it'll be a thumbnail of a slide, or I'll say on camera, and then they know exactly how to match it up.
Okay. That's awesome. I love that. That's a fantastic.
Yeah. It's a very simple pre-planning type of a technique. And it's something that comes out of all my experience when I have done work in corporations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was always handing some, you know, I was always doing part of it and handing it off. So here's the script, here's the slides, somebody narrates it, somebody pulls it all together.
Makes sense. Well, thank you so much for all of the information, Nancy. This has been fantastic. I absolutely love this. And I know that people are going to get so much information out of this, especially that really are looking to get those courses kind of set up, or reach out to you so you can help them with it. So one thing I love to ask all of my guests at the end is, do you have a quote, a saying, or a tip that you would like to share with the audience that can help them in some positive way?
Well, what just came to me in kind of how I live my life, if I wasn't laughing, I'd be crying. So, you know, just try to, you know, what we do is serious, but we can't take ourselves too seriously. And any project that you start, just always begin with the end in mind. What's the journey you want to take people on?
Yeah, definitely. I love that. I think that's some of the best advice to really think about. So thank you so much for that. And please share with everybody, how can they connect with you? Where can they follow you? How can they reach out to you and touch base?
Okay. Well, my website is nancygeary.com. And for those of you that are listening, Geary is spelled G-I-E-R-E. And my email is pretty simple. It's nancy@nancygeary.com. And I would love it if people would go to Amazon and pick up my new book called Bundle Your Brilliance. This is a how-to guide, and it followed my whole methodology to take you from idea to implementation. And if you just search for Bundle Your Brilliance on Amazon, you'll find it. And if you search all departments, you might find like other bundled items like toothpaste and socks on either side of my book. So
the things of Amazon.
How I know.
So we'll make sure we put all that information in the show notes as well. I'll share a link into Amazon directly to your book so that they can find that, make that super simple. Cause I think that's fantastic. And for people that are more readers and like doing it that way, I think that's going to be a great guide for them as well. So thank you again, Nancy, for all of your information.
You're very welcome.
All of the tips. I love the breakdown. I think you simplify it so pleasantly that it makes it feel like I can digest it. I do feel like when you think of course creation, it's like, it is for me. Maybe not for some people who like to be creative, but for me, I'm just like, ugh. So thank you.
Well, I can help you take the overwhelm out of it.
Yes. Yes. And to be honest, that's what everybody should be doing anyway. In order to scale your business, you do have to delegate, find people that can do it, that know what they're right. doing, because even though you may pay for it, you are going to shorten your span of time and effort of trying to figure it out yourself. And to be honest, end up saving yourself money, in my personal opinion. So
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So definitely. So thank you so much for being a part of today's episode. I had a blast talking with you. And to everybody else that's out there, don't forget, do one thing positive for someone each and every day and see how it changes your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day, everybody.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved what you heard, please be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review so we can keep the good stuff rolling. Got something you'd love to hear us discuss? Then be sure to message me on social media and let's work together to spread even more amazing content. And if you haven't yet connected with me on social media, be sure to follow along at Agent Services Plus. I'm so excited to connect with you on the next episode, and until next time, be sure to find things that help you learn, grow, and be inspired.